So I didn't put a bulletin in front of me. I don't know what to do in church. I was just thinking, as we were singing that song, that I seem to go back to John chapter 20 every year at sunrise service. Maybe not every year, but I know I have come to this scripture. I've not preached the same message every year, but I come back to that scripture because there's just something that draws me to it. And I come to realize that my job this morning is not to give you some deep insights that you've never heard before and something new and different about Easter. My job is just simply to tell the story. And what I've heard from people that come to faith in Christ I remember one kid in another church in South Georgia sitting about where Deborah is now in the church, and we had an evangelist there, and I saw him grab the pew at the invitation, and he was not trying to stay there. He was sitting on the edge of the seat waiting for us to say go, so when we said to come, he shot out of that pew and came and gave his life to Christ. And I asked him later on, what made you come to Christ that day? He said, I'd never heard that before. And I wanted to smack him and say, you hear it every Sunday. You know, I mean, you've heard it every Sunday that I've been the pastor of this church. But it was the fact that the Spirit of God spoke to him and spoke his name that morning and called him to come to faith in Christ. And he heard the gospel for the first time. Even though he had heard it physically, he had not heard it spiritually, not heard it in his heart. And so I wanted to start with a question this morning. Where did you meet Jesus? Where was it that you met Christ? Many of us say down, you know, at an altar at the church. You know, we met him in the church, and I was sitting on the front row of the church I grew up in, Center Hill Baptist Church, sitting on the front row. It's just not this one. And at the invitation, I don't have any idea what the preacher was preaching on, but I knew Christ called me that day to come to trust in him. I was 9 years old. And Christ has changed my life drastically since then. And I met him there. Where did you meet him? There's a time and a place where Christ came to you. And if I were to ask the question this morning, where do we meet Jesus? A lot of people in here would say immediately, we meet him at the cross. But if you read the Easter story, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus, only one man met Jesus at the cross that day. And that was the thief that was on the cross beside him. I said, well, we meet him at the empty tomb. Well, only one met him at the empty tomb. And she didn't meet him till he called her name. Let me read this scripture this morning. John 20, we're going to start in verse 1. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early. That's why we do it at sunrise. They came very early. Okay? Anybody feel like we got here very early this morning? Everybody, okay. I'll try not to do a boring sermon and put you back to sleep this morning. She came while it was early, while it was still dark. She saw the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she went running to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. John is that other disciple, and he's the only one that put in there that he outran Peter. But he did. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then following him, Simon Peter also came. He entered the tomb and saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on it, on his head, was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, then also went in. and believed, saw and believed. Yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. When the disciples returned to the place they were, then the disciples returned to the place they were staying. Let's pause there for just a moment. I want to read a few more verses. But let's go to God in prayer as we get started this morning. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that this truth is given to us so clearly. Father, I pray that your Spirit speaks to each one of us today to open us up, to hear you, and to leave here today knowing we've been in your presence and we're changed because of it. It's in your name we ask it, Lord. Amen. As I said, Mary was the only one that met Jesus at the empty tomb that morning. But she didn't meet him at first. She went to the tomb. She didn't get all the way to it. She saw the stone had been rolled away. She never looked inside. She just ran back to the disciples and told them, "They have stolen the body of the Lord, and we don't know where they've laid him." She assumed. But there was no other reason for anybody to have rolled that stone away. That must have been what it was. Peter and John ran to the tomb. John stopped outside and looked in, and he didn't know what he was seeing. Peter ran in. Made me think this week of the Jerry Clower story about Uncle Versey coming to town to see the fire that day, and he had all the kids hanging off the back of his truck, and a building was burning down, and the fire department was there, volunteer fire department, and they were just trying to keep everything else from burning. And somebody yelled, "Look out," and Uncle Versey drove his truck through the crowd and right into the middle of the building, and everybody jumped off the truck and started stomping, and they stomped the fire out. And the town took up a collection, and they thanked him, and they praised him, and said, "That was the bravest thing we've ever seen. This is a good sum of money, too, that we've got right here. You know, you saved the town. What are you going to do with all that money, Uncle Versey?" He said, "I'm going to get the brakes fixed on that truck." Peter ran into the tomb. Maybe he hit the wall, you know, when he came to the other side of it. But he looked around, didn't know what to believe. John came in, and we're told he believed, but we're told right after that they didn't understand the scriptures about the resurrection. John believed Jesus had done something. He didn't know what. But he believed him. Why do so many people not come to Jesus, not come to meet Jesus today? Well, if you think about it, the whole world was available to come meet Jesus at the tomb that morning. Only Mary came, or the ladies. We're told in the other gospel accounts it was several ladies that came, and as they came, they were talking about who's going to roll the stone away. Who's going to move that stone? We're not able to do it, and they didn't think the soldiers would do it for them. How are we going to get that stone moved? But only they came that morning. Mary didn't understand. John ran to the tomb and stopped outside, and Peter went into the tomb and looked around, but he didn't, you know, Peter, I think, didn't really want to believe. Because Peter, a couple of days before that, had denied Jesus three times in one evening, that he even knew Jesus. And one time was with a little girl that said, "Aren't you one of the disciples?" "I'm not, no, I don't know. I don't know him." And Peter didn't really want to face that sin. A lot of people don't believe because they haven't gotten close enough. Like Mary, they stood. But we want to claim the name of Christ. We want to say that we're saved and get to heaven, but we want to keep Jesus at a distance. We want to watch from far off. We want to see him, and seeing him work in others. And that makes us feel good and feel blessed, and we go home and we think we've done something today. Seeing people come, you know, a church close to us, Bethlehem Church, had 400 baptized in one day. and it wasn't accumulating over a year. It was 400 baptized in one day. We would walk home from that, you know, walk out to our car and say, boy, that was, you know, we did something great. God did something great. That was wonderful. But we can be in the middle of that, or we can stand far off from that. And there are a lot of believers in Christ that stand far off from his work. Like Mary, just saw that tomb from afar, made an assumption, and went off telling something. Peter and John John didn't know what he believed. He believed something. He just didn't know what. Peter was not really wanting to believe, I think, because he was going to have to be confronted by Jesus concerning his sin. And we don't want to deal with our sin, do we? Those of us that are believers in Christ don't want to deal with our sin. We know Christ, but man, I've had people say, well, you really laid on the sin, you know, this morning in a sermon, and I'm thinking, I preached on grace this morning. I didn't preach about sin. The Spirit of God was speaking to somebody else about that. So Mary stays at the tomb. Pick up reading with me there in verse 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where Jesus' body had been lying. One at the head, the other at the feet. They said to her, woman, why are you crying? Because they've taken away my Lord, she told him, and I don't know where they put him. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Woman, he said to her, why are you crying? Who is it that you're seeking? Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I'll take him away. Have you ever been there where the tears were so heavy in your eyes you couldn't see well? And you can picture here that Mary is standing there crying, and there's somebody off to the side right here, and out of the corner of her eye, she sees somebody. She doesn't know who it is. And Jesus is speaking to her, and she doesn't know who it is. He asked those two questions we're going to come back to in a second. Why are you crying? And who is it you're seeking? Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I'll take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. Turning around, she said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. Can you imagine? She didn't know that he had risen from the dead. She did know that he had died. But all of a sudden, there he is, and he's speaking to her, and he's called her by name, and he's not a ghost, he's real. What Mary saw that morning was the empty tomb. Jesus wasn't there. That empty tomb was very clear. She saw that from far off. Jesus wasn't there. But then she saw two angels, one at the head, one at the feet. And I never really put this together, I thought that much about this, till I saw a video of some teaching this week from a guy named Robbie Gallaty, that's pastor of a church up near Nashville. And he talked about the two angels. And he said, he talked about cherubim in the Old Testament. When Adam and Eve were put out of the garden, there was the cherubim that were there with the whirling swords. I don't know exactly what that meant, if they were whirling the swords or if the swords were doing something on their own, but they were there with those swords, and remember what they were doing? They were guarding the entrance to the Garden of Eden. They were guarding the entrance to that place where Adam and Eve had free access to God, and they were guarding it because Adam and Eve had chosen to sin against God, and God put them out of the garden, not as punishment, but to keep them from eating from the tree of life and living forever in their sin. We're going to live forever one day. We're going to be eternal one day. But could you imagine, in the condition that we are in, being about 6,000 years old right now, with sinful bodies that break down and deteriorate? God said, no, I don't want you to live like that. So He guarded them from going back and having that eternal life here. Then you come to Exodus, and Exodus 25, 22. God is telling Moses how to build the Ark of the Covenant. And He said, I will meet you there above the mercy seat. He told him to make the two cherubim over the lid of the Ark, and their wings touched each other. The cherubim that are over the Ark of the... Between the two cherubim that are over the Ark of the Testimony, I will speak with you from there about all I command you regarding the Israelites. God met them not in the ark, but above the ark. And by the way, just side note, if you watch the History Channel, or if you watched the Indiana Jones, the Raiders of the Lost Ark the other day, the ark is not a weapon. People will tell you today it was the greatest weapon that ever made. It was not a weapon. It was a box that held the tablets of the Ten Commandments. It held some manna, and it held the rod that budded with Aaron inside that ark. It was the place, it was the thing put in the holiest place in the temple where God would meet with His people once a year. The high priest would come in and lay that blood, sprinkle that blood over the lid of that ark, and God said, I'll meet here with you above that. With Moses, He's telling him, you come into this place and I will meet with you here. But you know, that's not where God meets with us today, is it? God doesn't meet with us at an ark anymore. There's not one specific place that we have to go to. Now, I didn't say we don't need to be in church. But He said, this is the place I'm going to meet you. But when Jesus came, He was the blood that was sprinkled on that ark. And those two angels were there. We're not told they were cherubim. We're not told they weren't. The word in the Greek is messengers were there. And their message was, He's not here. He's risen. Come see the place where He laid. You don't have to come to the ark anymore. You don't have to come and bring a sacrifice to a priest that's going to go and intercede between you and God now, because there is nothing left between you and God. Amen. When Christ died on that cross, we'll deal with this later today, the veil that covered that ark was torn in two from top to bottom. The curtain, and I don't mean a see-through curtain, this was a tapestry that was hung there. And it was torn in two from top to bottom, showing the world that would walk into that temple, there is now nothing between you and God, because your sin has been paid for. Your sin has been atoned for. The debt that you owed God is paid, and it's free, and it's over. Jesus no longer meets us at a certain place. He fulfilled all of that Old Testament. And now we've got a new covenant with Him. But notice this. We don't meet Him at the tomb. Not even the empty tomb. They went back to where they were when they came to the tomb. We can come to a place like this, we can feel an emotional connection, especially if we're outside and the sun's rising and it's beautiful to, you know, it would have been a great day today to be outside if it wasn't raining, because It's 60-something degrees outside right now. Every sunrise service, everybody comes out there wrapped up in blankets and freezing to death. And it's warm outside now, kind of muggy outside right now. But folks, we come to a place like that and we get a little emotional. Maybe we go to the beach. We used to go to the beach every year as teenagers with our church youth group. And so we always wanted to sit and, we could watch the sunset over the beach there in Panama City. We had two guys that stayed up all night one time to watch the sun come up over Panama City. They didn't realize if it sat there, it's not coming up right there either. You know, it was behind them when they realized it was daylight. But we want that emotional connection. But folks, we're not talking about an emotional connection. We promised that we were going to do better. But unless we meet Jesus, we're just going to end up going back where we were. If you're a believer in Christ this morning, but there are things you know that God is dealing with you about, you need to work on, unless you come and meet with Him, you're just going to go back where you were. If you're not a believer in Christ this morning, but you're thinking, I want something to change in my life, maybe church will do that, and maybe I can, if I come here, then I can get things right and make my life much better. You're just going to go back to where you were or to some other place that's just as bad. Because there's a vast difference in knowing about Jesus and meeting the risen Lord face to face. Notice those two questions very quickly. Why are you crying? Well, Mary was crying because she was living that moment in defeat. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not talking about us coming and claiming victory or manifesting some blessing of God. That's some silly stuff. I want you to understand that. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I can't make God do anything. It doesn't matter what I say or what I do, I can't make God do anything. And there are a lot of people that think we can, but we can't. We can live in God's blessings and we can claim those blessings that God has given us and recognize them as blessings. But Mary at this point was living in defeat because Jesus, you realize her story? Mary's story was one that she had, some say she had been a prostitute. I don't know exactly. But she did have 7 demons cast out of her. She was a woman that was apparently a wealthier woman, and she now followed Jesus and helped provide for Him, helped contribute monetarily to the ministry. And she went with them many times and served them, probably helped cook and do the things that needed to be done. But Jesus had cast 7 demons out of her. She had followed Him, invested her whole life in Him, and now she has seen Him beaten within an inch of His life, then crucified. And now she at least had the grave to go to, but now she's gone to the grave and the body's gone. What do you have left after that? I don't want to go back where I was, but without Jesus, I don't think I can stay where I am. She's devastated. And it's through tears that she sees Jesus and hears her name. She had lost all hope. Somebody may be here today thinking, I've tried Jesus and it didn't work. Well, there's something to remember there, and I'm not trying to be funny. He's not an it, He's a He. It is never going to work. Whatever system you're trying, it's never going to work. Only Christ in you is going to make the difference. They asked Jesus, or asked Mary, who are you seeking? Why are you in here looking for Jesus? Who are you seeking? Well, we're in a world that often tries to make Jesus in our own image. We want a God that looks like me. I hope you don't want a God that looks like me. But we try to get Jesus, a Jesus that's going to do what I want him to. A Jesus that's going to fix my problem. That's going to make my life better here. But that's not who he is. You can't change who Jesus is. Who are you seeking? What are you looking for when you're coming to Jesus? Mary saw him and she still didn't see him. And I've seen that so many times. The problem is blinding us. And Christ is there reaching out and we can't see it. A lot of people are going to say, well, you know, all that's required is faith. If I got enough faith, well, they had faith in Jesus. But Peter and John didn't see him that day. They did later that day when he came and stood in front of them and he called them by name. But faith in what? I hear a lot of people talk about faith today and they don't know what their faith is really in. What are you placing that faith in? Well, faith. You know, I'm placing it in faith. Well, that's placing it in the air. It's nothing there to believe in but with Christ. We've got the most solid thing in the world, the one that created the world, to believe in. Who are you looking for? Lord, they've taken him away. And that one word changed everything. Mary. When Christ comes to you and calls you by name, he will change everything. Amen. And we've got a lot of people in here who Christ has spoken to and dealt with in the last several years. Some of the guys over there cooking have come to faith in Christ since they came to this church, and that's a tremendous thing to see. Christ will come to you, call you by name. And when he calls you by name, if you're feeling that tug and that pull this morning, that is Jesus calling you by name. And if he's doing that this morning, follow him. Whatever he tells you, whatever he says to you, follow him. If you've got questions about that, I want you to understand I'm here today. I'm going to be here for a while today. Talk to me about that. Grab the person beside you and talk to them about that. Talk to somebody about that. Don't leave here today saying, I heard, but I don't understand and I'm not going to follow. It's as simple as a child coming to that childlike faith is real. You sit in vacation Bible school every year and tell the gospel to these children and you see a light come on. And you can just hang around after that class and there's two or three that are going to come up and say, individually, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be saved. Now, folks, if a child can do it, you can too. Don't leave here today wishing you had. Trust in Jesus. Whatever problem you're dealing with, we've got a God that is greater than that problem. He overcame death. He can overcome anything else. Trust him today. Because of the empty tomb, we have the guarantee of our salvation. It was paid for on the cross, but it was anybody can die. But Christ rose from the dead. Amen. To prove to us who he is. I want to thank you for being here this morning. Coming to a sunrise service where there's no sunrise is not something a lot of people want to do, and we've got a good group here today. We're going to have breakfast in a moment, and we'll have a lot of fun with that, and they always cook a great breakfast. Don't leave here today just thinking about this. If you hear Christ calling you, answer Him. Come to Him today. Let me close us in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your word, for this truth. Father, I thank You that You have loved us enough, and Jesus, that You went through all that You went through, paying the price for our sin. And Father, You raised Him from the dead to give us that receipt, to guarantee it. Lord, help us to live in that truth. Father, as we come together in fellowship in just a moment over the food, I pray that You bless that food. Lord, we thank You for those who've cooked it and those who've done all that they have this morning. Father, I know that You're at work in this, and I just pray that we'll be obedient to everything You tell us today. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. Well, you are dismissed. We have got some good food for you. Are they due over in the... Wait. What you got? Anybody that'd like to pre-register kids for Vacation Bible School, you can do that today over in the gym. All right. Well, thank y'all again for being here, and y'all come on and enjoy the breakfast. It's been blessed, and we can dig in and eat.